Tarlehurst End Podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
Hello and welcome to the Tarlehurst End Weekend Preview, your handy audio guide to Reading's upcoming championship fixture. My name is Ollie Allen, your host for today's show. With the Workingham Papers, Tom Crocker still away on holiday. Just like last week, I'm joined by Tarlehurst End editor Simeon Pickup. How's it going, Sim?
I'm very well. A bit downbeat after a slightly dull transfer deadline day, but I think I'll get past it.
Yeah, there was a bit of hype, obviously, going into today. We won't talk about it too much, but obviously with the Courtney House and Jay Foster potentially signing, and we've ended up with nobody. But of course, there is still the loan window, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. Reading got until the end of August to potentially bring in a few more players, and I expect we'll go in for one or two, but don't know how it's going to pan out just yet.
But this is not the place for transfer talk. This is the Tarlehurst End Weekend Preview, focusing just on Reading's upcoming game. So we'll dive straight into the Nottingham Forest game. Of course, Reading had their first away game of this season at City Ground on Saturday. So they come in, they go into that game, of course, on the back of the 2-1 defeat to Derby last Friday night. Tom Lawrence's last minute goal. So I think it was the last touch of the game, really, that gave Derby all 3 points there. How much of an impact do you think that defeat will have on the squad ahead of Saturday, Sim? Obviously, because for me, it will sort of go one of two ways. They'll either take the positives of that first half. Sort of, I mean, they were. I thought they were setting the better side up until the break, and sort of say they were level for most of that game with one of the promotion favourites. Or do you think that last gasp goal will sort of knock their confidence and they'll struggle to recover on Saturday?
I think it's potentially a bit of both, really. I think Clement said something after the game about it being quite a harsh lesson for us. Yeah. Certainly something they've got to learn from. I know it was a really good goal from Derby right at the end, really good cross, really good header from Lawrence, but it's the kind of thing you've got to learn to guard against, just being that bit sharper in the tackle, a bit sharper in watching the man coming into the box with the header. But it's something that you can learn from. I'm not too downhearted about the result or the slightly disappointing performance in the second half. As long as we can learn from it, as you say, and really take the positives and try and stamp out those negatives going into a tough game at Nottingham Forest.
Forest are the favourites for this one. They are 4-6 to get all 3 points. Reading are 9-2, and the draw is 13-5. Those are the most common prices from Odds Check at the time of recording. Hashtag gamblerware. Considering summer spending, we're certainly the underdogs for this game. And obviously, we're the underdogs for this game after being underdogs for the Derby game as well. So that's perhaps a position we're sort of likely to find ourselves in throughout the season, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I'm certainly on Saturday as well against Forest. They're going to want to really get their season going nice and quickly, really put on a show for their home fans.
Yeah.
I imagine they would have sold quite a lot of tickets, people wanting to come down and see all these new signings they've got in. Michael Heffley as well came in today.
Yep.
Really good signing, shows how ambitious they are and they really want to push for that top six. But if you look back at the game they had on the opening weekend, a bit of a disappointing first half at Bristol City, came back and got a 1-1 draw in the end, but it does show that you can get at them if you're on your game. So Reading will take heart from that, I think.
Obviously, they drew 1-1 with West Brom on Tuesday night as well, which we'll talk about in just a second. But as we did discuss last week briefly, Forest are sort of one of the favourites to get promotion from the Championship this season. And if Reading were to lose on Saturday, it would be the first time that we have lost both of our opening two games of a season since 1998. So a good little stat there for you. But there's no huge need to worry, is there? If that were to happen, obviously, You want to get off to the best possible start to the season, but Forest are one of the favourites for promotion, and as were Derby last week.
I think it's more about signs of progress that you're looking for in terms of how the team's developing, to be honest. I'd be really worried if there are obvious signs that we've regressed from the Derby game, if we've really taken that that knock to our morale quite severely, and if we've kind of retreated into ourselves a bit. But to be honest, even if we lose on Saturday, as long as we show that we're developing nicely, that we're that we're starting to put in some good performances, then I won't be too worried. Reminds me of the start of the 15-16 season when it took us ages to get a win in any competition at all, really. I think it was until September maybe that we first got that win at Brentford.
Brentford, yeah.
But even before that, we've been laying good foundations for it, playing well, playing certainly much better football than we had the previous season. And it's that kind of gradual improvement that you want to see from the team at the start of the season. It's a long campaign. There's plenty of time to properly start racking up the points. But at this point, you really just want to just show that there's some improvement there.
That Brentford game was when Nick Blackman, of course, came into his own and then had that magnificent run of form that ended up getting him a move to Derby. So perhaps we'll see a similar turn from someone like Sonny Aluko, perhaps, but I'm not sure if that's wishful thinking or not. But this is, of course, Reading's first away game of this campaign. They didn't score in any of their last four away games last season, losing 3-0 to both Aston Villa and Sheffield Wednesday. So there's a lot of work. There's a lot to work on for the new campaign, as to sort of where in all areas, really. But certainly away from home, this is where Paul Clement's sort of aim of making his team hard to beat really comes into play, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think it's quite encouraging looking at the style of play we had last week as well, actually, going up against certainly on paper a better side in Derby, where we had to withdraw a bit, really had to be on our toes defensively, but we also had a bit of a threat going forwards as well, with much more pace going forward, much more direct attacking out wide and through the middle, and if we can build on that, then we should be able to cause Forest some problems. Relies quite a lot on Modu Barrow being on his game and yep. John Daddy Bodvarsson probably being the one tasked with holding the ball up and bringing other players into the game. But if they can do that, as they did on Friday, then we certainly got a chance.
As for Forest, as mentioned, they did play again on Tuesday, and I'm not quite sure why they were. It was them against West Brom, I think Middlesbrough against Sheffield United on Tuesday. I'm not quite sure why those two games were played then, but they did draw 1-1 with West Brom on Tuesday. I mean, they've got 2 points in two games after also drawing with Bristol City 1-1 on the opening day. Firstly, that sort of means they've had less recovery time than Reading going into Saturday's game, but also they conceded their equaliser in the 87th minute against West Brom and looked pretty rattled after that. I think Dwight Gale hit the bar for West Brom and could have won it, really. So certainly it seems sort of if Rennie can hit them early, they might be able to take advantage of Forest. Or if they are losing by one goal with a few minutes to go, that game certainly does give them hope, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Kind of reminds me a bit of that game we had at the City Ground last season, where we were winning for so much of the game, having gone without a win for so long in that season, then conceding that late equaliser. So hopefully if we can perhaps put the game to bed a little bit earlier than that on Saturday, maybe get a two-goal lead if we're particularly lucky, then should be on for a win, hopefully.
I was trying to win that section on a positive note there, but you had to go and bring up last season, which just brought back horrific memories. But it's time now then for a view from the town end, where we get the view of the opposition fan going into the weekend's game. And of course, with Reading travelling to Nottingham Forest on Saturday, it's time to get the view of a Nottingham Forest fan.
The view from the town end. What the opposition think?
Here we are then, it's time to get the opposition view here on the Tirelessly Den weekend preview. I'm with Reading travelling to Nottingham Forest on Saturday. I'm pleased to say that I'm joined by Rich Ferraro, who hosts the Forest Ramble podcast. How's it going, Rich?
Yeah, good thanks. How's it going for you?
Yeah, not too bad. It's good to have club football back, isn't it?
Oh, very much so. I mean, the World Cup was a pleasant surprise, but it's still no match for seeing your own team, is it?
Absolutely, and of course Forest kicked off the season last weekend with a 1-1 draw with Bristol City. Was that a promising performance from yourselves, and has it sort of provided you with a bit of hope for the season ahead?
Honestly, the first half, not so much, but Karanka obviously gave them a rocket at half time, and they scored within 45 seconds of the second half starting. So, and after that, they were, you know, the Forest team were very much in the ascendant.
I think certainly before the season kicked off, you were one of the bookies' favourites to go up. And was that sort of echoed within the fan base? Or was there a bit more of a cautious feeling? Obviously, we saw the influence that George Mendes had on Wolves last season, sort of having now helped Forest and the likes of João Carvalho, Diego Goncalves and Gil Bastião Dias. I'd probably mispronounce all of those names. But is there sort of a sense that sort of you could emulate Wolves this season and they'll win the title, perhaps?
Promotion is clearly the aim. I'm not sure if people are fussed about the title at this stage, but you can't spend the kind of money that our net spend is, I think, 21 million over the summer, because the players who've left have gone on freeze. We've also got a few players who we couldn't get rid of. You know, that's taken into account the fact that Gonsalves and Diaz are both on loan this season as well, and in a similar kind of arrangement that Wolves had when they signed Ruben Neves and when they signed Diogo Jota.
Yeah.
The expectation is clearly that Forest need to be going up, and there's a whole new mentality around the ground. Let's put it that way.
Aitor Karanka is the man in charge, having replaced Mark Warburton back in January. Are you a fan of Karanka's? Is he the right man to take Forest forward?
I think most fans were pretty happy when they found out that he was getting the job. I certainly was. With Warburton, I think obviously he had a reputation in terms of having a style of play. But the trouble is that his adherence, he was very rigid in terms of his tactics,
yeah,
and his adherence to those tactics often came at the expense of results. Now, Karanka came in, he signed lots of players in the January window, some of whom were on loan, some of whom were short-term contracts, some of whom very much are not at the City Ground anymore, that just didn't work out. But he signed those in the space of 24 hours because he realised that, you know, the squad we've got is going to be in real trouble. So he started surgery then, and adopted a very pragmatic style of play, whereby we went from having possession-based football to a style whereby possession didn't matter anymore, but we were more likely to get results.
He's obviously taken Middlesbrough up in the past. Do you think that sort of experience will certainly help, sort of perhaps if Forest get to that, sort of enter the season, sort of promotions on the cards, his sort of experience will be key in that situation?
Oh, yeah, I think not just the manager. I think the fact the manager's been through it himself is really important. But there's a very different style here. I mean, Middlesbrough, when they got promoted under Karanka, they kind of famously were one of those teams who did it by winning 1-0 every week. And there's a very different style going on. So we've had that pragmatic phase. But you don't sign players like Diaz, Carvalho and Gonsalves if you're planning to play, you know, really rigid, boring kind of sort of backs to the wall football. Those players are exciting, and Diaz in particular is going to give your left back one hell of a ride.
We mentioned sort of the big money that you've spent this summer, but also I think Forest has sort of had a reputation, sort of perhaps in the last couple of years or so, for bringing some really decent young players forward. How crucial are they going to be this season?
For the season, it's going to be important. I mean, the main academy graduate who's a regular in the team is Ben Osborne, who, yeah, under Karanka has converted from being a bit of a jack-of-all-trades in midfield to more or less becoming the first-choice left-back. And last season, we weren't really convinced he could do it because he's only little, but he's really, he's obviously worked on his game. And the fact that he's first-choice, even though we have signed a specialist left-back in Jack Robinson,
yeah,
probably says a lot. Ben Brereton might well be on the bench, and I think anyone who sort of watched the FA Cup coverage when Forest played Arsenal,
yeah,
will realise what an exciting prospect he is. But as with all young strikers, he needs confidence, and so I think that he will be seen as a bit of an option off the bench. That's assuming he gets on the bench, because obviously we've now got Daryl Murphy and Lewis Graben competing for the centre-forward spot. So Brereton, I think, is going to be used a bit more sparingly, but he's definitely going to be in the squad. And then Joe Worrell is the other young man who has... He became a bit of a mainstay at centre-half last season in the first half of the season, and then struggled to get a kick of the ball in the second half of the season. And he's probably third choice centre half, maybe even fourth choice at the moment. That's just because that thing about championship know-how. We've got Michael Dawson and Danny Fox as our first choice centre halves at the moment, and you know those guys have got bags of experience.
Yeah, I think certainly, obviously, especially in defence, you sort of need that experience in the championship. But as for Saturday's game, then, how much of a challenge do you sort of think Reading will present for us? What did you make of us last season? Have you paid much attention to our transfer business over the summer?
Well, in terms of transfers, I guess the main thing you're all hoping for is whether Liam Moore stays or goes, aren't you?
Sure, so, yeah.
And of course, you know, I know that you have, you know, he didn't play at the weekend, did he? So
nope.
It gives the impression of preparing for life without him.
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of, I think Forest fans' views of Reading is mainly been because obviously you've got Chris Gunter and Gareth McCleary playing for you. So
indeed, which, although both will be injured, unfortunately, on Saturday.
Yeah, which we don't mind because, you know, McCleary is a decent player. I always liked him because he was the kind of player who could make things happen out of not much.
Yeah.
And Gunter, I mean, he's definitely improved as a defender since he left us. That's the thing that I always kind of leveled, is that his positional sense as a defender wasn't always the best, but you know, he's got many, many more years of championship experience and international experience under his belt now. So so those are the players that you know, we always keep an eye on. So in terms of the match itself, well, obviously it's the old cliche of there's no such thing as an easy game in the championship. Forest are still finding their feet, and to an extent, in a way that Reading have already found their feet, because Clements had a bit more time to get a style established. Whereas with the amount of players that Forest have signed over the summer, it has led to a change of style and a change of emphasis.
From Forest's point of view, then, who do you think will be your key player at the weekend?
I'm going for, it's difficult to say, either Carvalho or Diaz. Carvalho was most fans' man of the match in the opening match. I think people were impressed that he had a good degree of work ethic as well as kind of the nous to play in the number 10 role. But Diaz is just, the way my dad described it, bless him, is that he doesn't run, he flies. He's strong, he's tricky and skillful. He scored a couple of amazing goals in pre-season. And if it does become a permanent transfer, bearing in mind we signed Carvalho for €15 million, Diaz is going to cost more if that becomes a permanent transfer.
We obviously had Lewis Graben on loan a couple of years ago, and you've now got him on a permanent deal. Do you think we could see him start? Obviously, we saw Daryl Murphy get on the score sheet last weekend. Do you think it'll be one or the other of those two, or is it going to be a strike partnership?
It definitely won't be a partnership. Karanka plays with one up front. No, that sounds quite negative, but I'd say when you consider that we've got a good array of talent to play in the line just behind him, I think that's not a problem. A lot of people were surprised that Murphy started ahead of Graben at the weekend. I wasn't that surprised, and I think it's because Daryl Murphy offers, apart from lots of experience and a bit more even than Graben at this level, apart from that, I think he lends himself well to the style of play in terms of creating loads and loads of space for the players running up behind him and so on. Graben less so, and so I think Graben has kind of been brought in more as a poacher, with Murphy as more of the kind of let's hold it up. And particularly in away matches, I think Murphy will be the first choice.
Finally then, how do you see the game panning out at the weekend, and what's your score prediction for the game?
Oh, I hate making score predictions, but I think it's going to be a Forest win. I know I've got to say that, but I also think that as they play together, they will become better at getting the end product, which is, to me, the hardest bit of playing football, is actually scoring the goals. But as the Portuguese lads are bedding in, and I think they just may have a little bit too much for your back sort of six of your sort of back four and sort of defensive players ahead of them. And yeah, so I'm going to go for 2-1 to Forest.
So I think I am with you. I think I think you probably will get the win. I think obviously we had that 94th minute win against Derby last Friday, sort of not stuffing out of us completely. So it'll be certainly interesting to see sort of how we react to that. Cause I think we did sort of play quite well. I mean, that first half on Friday night, but obviously Derby getting that late goal might knock our confidence a little bit. Obviously, we went winless throughout pre-season as well, so we're still looking for our first win, I think, since April. So I think we will probably lose, but I think it could be tight. I'm going to go for 1-0 to Forest. My thanks then to you, Rich, for joining me on a Tireless Den weekend preview. Best of luck on Saturday and for the rest of the season.
Thanks a lot.
No worries at all. It's now time then for me and Sim to discuss Reading's team news ahead of Saturday and pick our preferred lineups for the trip to the City Ground.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at The Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/The Tarlhurst End.
Welcome back to the Tarlhurst End weekend preview, and it's time to look ahead to which players could feature for Reading at Nottingham Forest. Now, we're recording this on the Thursday evening. There's a press conference happening on Friday, so I'm sure we might know a little bit more about injuries and stuff after that. But as for the team news at the moment, it seems as if there's little difference to last week. Dave Edwards is still out injured, of course. Callum Harriott and Adrian Popp are also probably still out. John O'Shea was close last week, apparently, so he might return to the squad, whilst Tyler Blackett is available again after selection. He's probably perhaps the most likely one to come in, maybe for Omar Richards. But does he go into your preferred lineup, Sim?
No, I keep it exactly the same, to be honest. We had some good signs on Friday. Had some good encouraging spells defensively and attackingly, offensively even. So if we can build on that, then that'll be ideal, and that means we have to keep the same team as last team as last time. Hopefully gather a bit of momentum, really get them gelled and get them clicking properly. So no need to make any major changes.
I would make just one change from that defeat to Derby. I'd probably swap in Leandro Bakuna for Liam Kerry, because I sort of think Bakuna perhaps has a little bit more defensive cover in there and sort of can sort of drive the team forward, which is perhaps what we were lacking a little bit last week. So that's Manone in goal, and my back four of Andy Yeardom, Paul McShane, Thiago Alori, and Richards. Bakuna and Milo just in front of the defence for me. And then Luko, Swift and Barrows, the three further forward, with then John Dalibor Varson up front by himself. So between us, Sim, we've made just one change. You touched on it briefly there, but is that sort of, there's a need for consistency, or is it really because there's few other options available to Paul Clement? I think for me, there was a fair amount of promise in that side that played against Derby, but would someone like Jay Fulton, who's moved to Reading from Swansea, sort of fell through today, would he have perhaps given something a little bit different?
I think that partnership in the middle is not too bad, actually. You've got a good mixture of a more energetic player in Liam Kelly, and then bigger, more physical option in David Myler. I know it's not ideal. You probably want someone a bit tougher, a bit more physically strong than Liam Kelly, particularly when you're trying to play a more defensive, compact game. But that's something that he can develop, to be honest. He's still improving a lot. He's still got a lot of learning and tactical awareness to develop, and playing alongside Milo, I think he could be the right person to kind of get that out of Kelly. I do like Bakuna. He's probably going to come in the future, perhaps if we go to a really tough place, but at the moment I just think keep Milo and Kelly in there and just let that partnership develop.
There have been some calls for Vita Manone to be dropped and Sam Walker to come in to make his debut. But obviously, Manone made that error against Derby for their first goal last weekend. But does it seem perhaps, obviously, after just one game, is that a little bit too soon for that to happen? Obviously, we know that Clement is certainly a fan of Sam Walker.
Yeah, I think it's too early at the moment. If he'd probably had a couple more mistakes in that game, then you can say that he's really low on confidence, but when it's just one mistake, it seems a bit harsh. And particularly when you're looking at a position where you need someone to stay in regularly, to really make that position their own and build relationships with other players and teams as well, of course, because you've got the links between the goalies and the centre halves to think of. You need that change if you're going to make it to really make sense and really seem fair to the players, essentially. If you drop Manone and he's feeling that he's not been given a proper chance, then you kind of leave a bit of a bad feeling there. Might be the kind of thing that affects Walker. But if you give Manone another chance in goal starting on Saturday at Forest, he's got the chance to either really impress and put that mistake to bed and put it behind him, or if he does make another mistake, there's a real definite sense that he should be dropped out of the team and give Walker a proper chance.
Yeah, I'd probably agree. I think, obviously, Manone is far from the best keeper in the world, but he's probably the best option we've got at the moment. But it really wouldn't surprise me, certainly, perhaps maybe by Christmas, that Sam Walker comes in to have the number one shot. Obviously, he's wearing number 28, but as in, I think you've said there wasn't particularly a need to bring in a goalkeeper on the face of it this summer, but obviously Paul Clement knows Sam Walker from his time at Chelsea and obviously a big fan of the player, so it certainly wouldn't surprise me to see sort of Clement bringing his own player between the sticks there. In front of the goalkeepers, of course, goalkeeper singular, neither of us have picked Liam Moore, which is obviously, of course, no surprise at all, but he has confirmed today that he will be staying at Reading until January at least. But at what point does he come back into the side? So obviously he's still been training with the squad whilst his sort of future's been up in the air, but he's not played since getting 45 minutes against Ruben Kazan on the 20th of July. Is he maybe given a chance against Birmingham in the Cup next week or against Bolton the following weekend, or does he sort of have to fight for his place back in the side?
Yeah, it's a tough one, really. I guess his relationship with the players and the manager is still pretty good.
Yep.
I know he put in that transfer request, but he did make it very clear that it was more about getting Premier League football than any kind of disrespect to Reading or not wanting to play for this club. He just wanted to have that chance in the Premier League. I think that's something that his manager can respect, his teammates can respect. It's more about how do you really get him confident again, really get him motivated again in the light of a potentially hostile reaction from the crowd. I'm not so sure it's going to be particularly vitriolic when he next plays at the Medeski Stadium, but there were a few negative chants on the last pre-season friendly game against Crystal Palace. So if the fans are really clear that they haven't taken to his decision to stay and would kind of make it a little bit uncomfortable for him, then the manager's got to ease him back in. That could be best done on Saturday, to be honest. If he's on the bench, maybe comes on with a few minutes to go and just ease him in front of an away crowd rather than a potentially more hostile home crowd, then that could be the best way to do it.
Certainly that statement he released on Twitter today, sort of it shows you what sort of character is. It was quite a well-written statement. Obviously, he sort of gave his reasons. I think we all perhaps would have done the same in his situation, obviously when presented with the opportunity to play Premier League football when those bids have come in for him. But certainly, obviously, from that statement and from what we've seen of him over the last 2 years, he certainly doesn't seem sort of the sort of character to sulk in the reserves. So hopefully, and obviously he won the Player of the Year awards last year, and he can certainly, if he is at his best, can be one of our better players. So finally then, Sim, I'll ask for your prediction for the game against Nottingham Forest. Last week you went with 1-1 against Derby, as did Tom Crocker. So both of you came incredibly close to getting that spot on until that late Tom Lawrence goal. But what are you going to go with this week?
I'm going to go with 1-1 again. I'm going to be Mr. Consistent and just hope that there's not a late winner from Lewis Graben, which would probably be the most likely thing to happen on Saturday, knowing our luck.
Yeah, I went with 2-0 to Derby last week, so I picked up a point for saying that we'd lose. I am predicting a defeat again at City Grounds, unfortunately, this weekend. As I said to the Forest fan, Rich Ferraro, earlier in the show, I do think it'll be tight, probably 1-0. As you said, I'd imagine Lewis Graben almost will certainly score against us. Tom Crocker has gone for 2-1, so we'll see how that one pans out. To find out what all the other guys think the score will be, go and listen to Monday's main show, where Mark was joined by Johnny Williams and Dave Handbags Harris to review that defeat to Derby and also get through another bulging mailbag. If you have already listened to that main show and are now coming towards the end of this weekend preview, then thank you very much for your commitment. And I can tell you that the main show will be back early next week. As for this show, though, I'm on holiday next week, so a preview to the Aston Villa game on the bank holiday weekend will be when we next appear on your feeds, and the Woking Papers' Tom Crocker will be back for that one for the first time this season. It means, Sim, I have to say farewell to you. It's been a pleasure having you on for the first two weekend preview shows.
Thanks for having me. It's an emotional goodbye. I've enjoyed my time here, but as they say, all good things have to come to an end. So I'll say my teary farewells and wish you the best of luck for the future.
Thank you very much. I'm sure you may will be back on later on in the season, and certainly on the main show at some point too, hopefully.
Yeah, certainly hope so. Yeah.
Hopefully you at home won't be going anywhere. Well, I hope so anyway, but and you've enjoyed today's show. I'll be back, as mentioned, in 2 weeks' time. Until then, here's the 3 points on Saturday, and come on, you Ars.
The Tarlhurst End Podcast. By Reading fans, for Reading fans.